This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Adrian Wooldridge of The Economist magazine. He is the Badgett columnist. He's in London. He writes of the Johnson government in particular and the diversity of opinion in Britain and in Europe. He's the author of The Aristocracy of Talent, which is about the meritocracy, our leadership, both in Europe and in the United States, how we choose it, what the schools are, the filters that arise to leadership. And we begin with a column that Adrian's published on one person who prospered in the aristocracy of talent. His name is Dominic Raab. He's the foreign secretary of the Johnson government. He's in a deal of turmoil because of events that happened during the panic and retreat from the tragedy of Kabul. Most recently, he's been criticized bluntly by Sir Nick Carter, who's the head of the British military, the Ministry of Defense. This is the Uniform Ministry of Defense, who is unhappy with Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary, blaming Afghanistan tragedy on the intelligence community. Adrian, the puzzle for me reading all of this is that Dominic Raab is stubbornly sticking to the idea that the prime minister told him he didn't have to break his holiday for the tragedy of the evacuation from Kabul. Is this opening about the Johnson government in general, and Raab's missteps are providing a window, or is this just particular to Mr. Raab?
No, I think it's much more general than that. Dominic Raab, when it looked as though Kabul was going to fall, phoned up Boris Johnson and said, should I break my holiday? Boris Johnson at that time was also on holiday, and he didn't want to come back from his holiday, so he said, no, we can stay on holiday. At the same time, the permanent secretary of the Home Office was on holiday, the permanent secretary of the Foreign Office was on holiday, and the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Defense was on holiday. So it seemed the whole of the government was essentially on holiday. And whatever you think of the Taliban, they don't take holidays. They're pretty committed to what they do, and they don't take time off. And I think that this was, culpable in many ways, not least that we knew that America had set a deadline for withdrawal from Kabul. And, which is not a time to schedule a holiday. We also knew that the Taliban was advancing more rapidly than we'd expected. And I think although some of the intelligence, some of the surface intelligence said that it would be slow and it would be manageable, the deeper intelligence, a lot of the intelligence on the ground was saying, wait a minute, this is happening much faster than we thought. So if you dig down below the surface, so I think just in the name of caution, you shouldn't have been on holiday. But also if you had been talking to people in the region, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, which he didn't do, you would have, I think, understood that this was the house of cards was already collapsing.
The linkage is that 9/11/2001, in one fashion, was criticized as an intelligence failure by the United States, by our allies. Yeah. And 8/31/2021, which is the day of the final aircraft lifting off, is now being knocked as an intelligence failure by Dominic Raab. Is this indicative of the British people unhappy with the Johnson government? You've seen the marks that Mr. Biden's government is getting for Afghanistan. Is Mr. Johnson being faulted in the same fashion?
Well, there are two things that have been faulted here. One is the response of the government, particularly Mr. Johnson, to the fact of American withdrawal. We knew what the date was. We knew that this was an inevitability, and yet we didn't seem to coordinate our response to that. But the second thing which is being faulted is Britain's alliance with the United States. Britain has been incredibly close to the United States. The Tory party has been particularly favorable to the Anglo-American alliance. And now we see that we're being treated by Biden as an irrelevance. He didn't consult us particularly much. And when he makes his speeches, he seems to be talking only to a domestic audience and not acknowledging the fact that, in fact, the death rate per capita of British troops was higher than the death rate per capita of American troops in Afghanistan, although the total number is obviously much, much smaller in terms of casualties or deaths. So we feel neglected, and I think the great, you know, bulwark of British foreign policy, which, after all, Churchill put in place after the Second World War, is being neglected by you and us.
The concern also is the road ahead and how this is managed by the British people, and the citizenry gets a vote here often. And yes, the Johnson government seems to be dominant because of the numbers in Parliament. Do you see this going ahead as a way of criticizing the Johnson government decisions in domestic matters? I know right now there's much talk of taxing. Is Mr. Johnson suited for this kind of disorder?
Well, the problem is that we have two failed parties in this country. We have the Conservative Party and the Johnson government, which is failing on all sorts of fronts. It's breaking its no new taxes pledge. It's not managing its relationship with the United States particularly well. But the Labour Party is even worse. The Labour Party is in the most, I think, which has 201 seats, or 199, I can't remember exactly which, is failing on every front. They're criticizing the Conservative Party for their social care plans, but not putting it forward a viable alternative. They're criticizing what happened in Afghanistan, but nobody really thinks they would have handled it better themselves. They're in a mess, possibly a terminal mess, as a political party. And what's more, one of the weirder things that is happening is the Labour Party is laying off workers, its own employees, because it's run out of money. It can't afford to pay them. Those employees have balloted for strike action. So Labour Party employees are likely to go on strike against the Labour Party. And the Labour Party's annual conference is coming up. And we may have a scene whereby the Labour Party's employees are on strike against the Labour Party and will picket the annual conference. And anybody who goes to the conference will be crossing it. So Johnson is in trouble, but fortunately his opponents are in much, much bigger trouble.
Yes, the witticism here often is, the best friend the Democratic Party has is the Republican Party, and vice versa. So
exactly. So, but I mean, our Labour Party is in much more trouble than either of your two.
Right.
It's really weak at the moment.
The thought you expressed some weeks back now, but I enjoyed the column a deal, was that Mr. Johnson has something to learn from Mr. Blair, who was the third way. This is in the late 20th century. Although Tony Blair today is being knocked because of some of his remarks, intemperate remarks. He's upset, as everyone is, by Afghanistan. And he was the prime minister at the time of the Afghanistan incursion.
Absolutely.
Yes. However, what can Mr. Johnson learn? We just have about a minute. What can Mr. Johnson learn from how Tony Blair handled himself in office?
Well, Tony Blair was extremely articulate, but he was also extremely well organized. He not only made promises, but he delivered on those promises. He had a very good working machine in Downing Street. And one gets the sense that Downing Street under Boris Johnson is a sort of Sargasso Sea of lost initiatives. You know, things go in, but they don't come out.
Yes, there is that impression. Although Johnson has that charisma. And Blair had the charisma.
I remember
the vivid time at the tragedy of the Diana, how brilliantly he handled that and the funeral and everything. It was surprising to me that he's never going to be prime minister when he was replaced by Mr. Brown. That was a shock to me. Is Mr. Johnson concerned that his charisma could not sustain him? We have about 30 seconds.
Yes, I think he's very nervous that he'll be replaced by somebody else. He has star power, but he doesn't have delivery power. And in the end, delivery power matters.
And right now we're looking at the Johnson government, overwhelming numbers in parliament, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I think they have 65,000 members of parliament or something like that.
Yeah, I have about that, yeah.
some overwhelming amount. Memories of 9/11, 2001, and ironies of 9/11, 2021 by Adrian Wooldridge, who is Badgett at The Economist and the author right now of The Aristocracy of Talent, How Meritocracy Made the Modern World, and the leadership that we just discussed. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy, hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.